Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. After asking Katie to marry me, I had no clue about the time and details that went into getting ready for the wedding day. She asked me what I thought the wedding colors should be, and I asked, "What do you mean? Don't you wear white?" And she was like, "No, you got to have a color for the napkins and the flowers and the decorations." And by this point, I think my mouth had hit the floor, and I remembered when her brother said, "Run while you still have the chance." Because I'm like, what in the world? I had no idea that so much planning could go into a wedding. Now, I just wanted to meet and say I do and get on with the show. But I was like, you got all this planning, all this preparation. Can't you just go and say I do and be done with it? Looking back, I'm glad that we put in the time, got the details right, and were ready for the wedding day. Do you know that there is another more important wedding day coming? This is the day the groom, Jesus Christ, returns for his bride, the church. When he comes back for us, will he find us ready? Will he see us being faithful stewards, doing what he has called us to do? The Advent season that we are entering into is all about the anticipation and the expectation of the birth of the Savior. And as followers of Jesus, we are to anticipate and expect the return of Jesus. And as we wait and watch for the return of Jesus, we are also to work. To work in the way that he has called us to. Today, we are going to be getting ready for the return of the Savior as we enter into our Christmas season. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 41, the Word of God reads, "Then Peter said to him, 'Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?' And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much will be committed, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you be with us today as we look at the beauty of your word, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be a people worthy of the calling you have placed on our lives, that we would be faithful stewards serving you well. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Lord, I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up and that you would move as only you can. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see in our text today is we see the faithful servant. You know, the word says in 41, "Then Peter said to him, 'Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?' And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over that all that he is. So as Jesus has been discussing with his disciples that he will return at a time when no one expects and that they need to be ready. And so in verse 40, we see that you also must be ready because the Son of God will come at an hour when they do not expect him. And so this leads Peter to ask Jesus a question. Jesus, is this teaching for us or everyone? And Jesus, in the way that he often did, he answered the question with a question. And the question that Jesus asked shows that this teaching is not just for his disciples. It's not just for the 12. But this teaching is for everyone. This teaching is for all people. Jesus will answer the question, and he helps us to see that there are two types of people that will be found when Jesus returns. We may not all agree on how Jesus will come back, but we all agree on the fact that one day Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus does return, he will find two types of people. He will find the faithful steward and the unfaithful steward. All people fall under one of these two categories. So first, we want to look at the faithful steward and the rewards that come to him. Peter's question in verse 41 was to ask who this applied to. Jesus shares that it applies to all people, his servants, those that follow him. Jesus does not answer, but gives a question as he often does. And so the first question that we need to ask ourselves as we look at this is, what is the role of the steward? When we give our hearts and our lives to Christ, we become a steward of all that God has given us, all that Christ has given us. So what is our role? What does God expect of us as faithful stewards? The steward was a servant who was put in charge of certain areas to do the business of the master. Jesus gave responsibilities to his disciples, and now he gives responsibilities to us as his disciples. As the master was away, he took care of all that the master put him in charge of. As we look in our passage, we see that the steward was responsible for feeding the other servants, to making sure they had food, for taking care of their needs and providing for them. We see that he was not just to watch and wait for the master, but to work for him. Often we get into this mindset that I'm just going to step back and watch and wait and see what the Lord does. Yes, we are to watch and wait and expect the return of the Lord, but we are to work while we watch and wait. We are not to be idle. We are to be about the business of the Lord. As the people of God, we are called to wait on the Lord, but this is not an excuse to sit back and do nothing. As we wait, we work. The Lord has given his followers the honor of being stewards. He has given us tasks that we are in charge of. We are to be stewards of this world, taking care of it. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So we are stewards of this world. God has put in humanity in charge of the entire creation to watch over it and to look after it and to take care of it. Amen. We are stewards of this world. Second, we are to be stewards of our finances. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." As followers of Jesus, we are to be faithful stewards of our finances. That includes giving the first 10% to the church. The word tithe means tenth. Everything that we make, everything that we own belongs to God. And in His goodness and love for us, lets us keep 90% and only ask us to give 10%. And so many of us have trouble even doing that. But a faithful steward will give 10% to the storehouse. The third thing that we are to be stewards of is we are to be stewards of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." My goodness, the church today sounds nothing like that, does it? This is what church is supposed to be. This is the first church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. It amazes me how many people come more for singing than discipleship. If we have a guest singer, people flock to the church. We're reading the Bible and talking about Jesus, ain't nobody here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Coming together, joining together as one. To breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And I love this. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Welfare should not exist. That's the job of the church. We are to take care of one another, to provide for one another. Every day they continued to meet together. My goodness, we have trouble getting people here on Sunday. Imagine if we met every day. The early church met every day together to hear the Bible, to hear the Word of God, to fellowship together and to grow together. We are to be stewards of the church. That means we are to take care of one another. If one of us has a need, someone else in the church should step up and say, "I got you covered. Amen. I got you back." We are to be faithful stewards of the church. And then the last thing that we are to be faithful stewards of is we are to be faithful stewards of our time. Luke 12:43. "It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns." The way we use our time matters. I've had people tell me, "I don't have time to read my Bible." That means it's not important to you, because if it was important to you, you'd have time to do it. "I don't have time to be in church." That means it's not important to you, because if it was important to you, you'd be in church. Again, we have three services. We have Sunday school, we have worship service, we have Sunday night, and we have Wednesday night. If you can't make one of those each week, let me know and I'll meet you some other time. There is no excuse to go months without being in church. Amen. That means it ain't important to you. Because we have multiple services, multiple opportunities, multiple availabilities. Because we do understand that sometimes people do have to work. Sometimes there is a time exchange. That's why I challenge people, come to at least one every week and watch what God will do in your life. Come to at least one service every week. Hear the message of Jesus. Be that faithful steward. Grow in your walk with Christ. And watch what God will do in your life. Because here's what's really awesome. Is it not amazing that God gives us the right to care for His creation? Is it not awesome that God allows us to be His stewards? That we get to take care of creation. That we get to be responsible with our finances. That we get to take care of one another. That we get to spend our time wisely. These are incredible rewards that God has given us. And when He finds us doing His will be blessed. And I love this truth. Blessed is he who does the will of the Master. Because Jesus is coming back. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now. We don't know when it will be, but we must be ready. We are to be faithful stewards doing all that God has called us to do. One thing that God has really hit me hard with, and I like to ask, if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was coming back at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, would you be at a birthday party? Would you be at a ball game? Would you be sleeping in and skipping church? If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was coming back at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, where would you be? Because I'm telling you, He could. He could come back before I finish this message. He could come back before I get done. We are to be faithful stewards doing all that God has called us to do. Well, does the Bible say I'm supposed to be in church? Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as is the habit of some. The daily, they were together, joining together. The church is a group of people coming together, worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the faithful, there are great rewards that come from the Master. This should encourage us to keep doing all that God has called us to do. I want to encourage some of you today, and hopefully this encourages all of you. How easy is it to get discouraged when serving the church? How easy is it to get discouraged when God calls you to do something, whether it's to lead this ministry or that ministry or to do this or to do that? And how easy is it to get discouraged? Sometimes we get discouraged by the amount of people that shows up to something we're doing. Sometimes we get discouraged because somebody has something negative to say about it. It doesn't matter what we do as a church, somebody's got something negative to say about it. There are just so many things that can discourage you when you are called to do something by God. Let me encourage you. Keep doing it.
Amen.
Keep doing what God has called you to do, because the Bible promises that we will be blessed if we are faithful.
Yes.
Don't worry about the naysayers, because no matter what we do, they're going to be naysayers.
That's right.
Don't worry about those that aren't showing up. That's a message for me too. Because those that don't show up, they're the ones missing the blessing.
Amen. That's right.
They're the ones that are missing out on what God wants to do.
Amen.
And so we can get so discouraged, or we can do what God has called you to do. So those of you that are serving, keep on serving. Those of you that are moving forward for the kingdom of God, keep doing it, and don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody discourage you. Know that a day that Jesus is coming back, and He's going to reward you for your service. Knowing that a day is coming when He will return to find us doing the work is beautiful words. Because those that are serving, those that are doing what God has called them to do, regardless of what anybody else says, is going to hear two of the greatest words that has ever been said by Jesus. Well done. Well done. Let us not get discouraged by those who try to hinder us from the work that God has called us to do. The one who does what they are called to do will be blessed by the Lord. And oh, how blessed we are to be a part of what God has called us to do. He wants to use us to advance His kingdom. I love Galatians 6:9 that says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For in proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I want to encourage you, don't give up what you're doing for God. Be a faithful steward. The only other option is to be an unfaithful steward. And punishment comes from them. The first thing that we see is a faithful steward. The second thing that we see is an unfaithful steward. Verse 45 and 46 says, "But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." So what are some signs of an unfaithful servant? Well, the first sign of an unfaithful servant is one who has lost hope. The first thing that we see with the unfaithful steward, the first problem, is that he has lost hope. He begins to think that his master is delayed his return. So the unfaithful servant loses hope that the master is coming back. It can be easy for us to feel like that today when we look around our world, see the status of our world and wonder, Lord, where are you? Jesus, when are you coming back? We cannot let our guard down thinking that his coming is delayed. We do not know when he will return. Don't lose hope. Jesus is coming. For when we lose hope, we are on the line to being an unfaithful servant. The second thing, the second problem with the unfaithful steward is he does not care for others. He begins to beat the other servants. It says he begins to get drunk. He was supposed to provide food and drink for the other servants, but instead of providing, he's gorging himself on it. And so he does not care for others. The steward was responsible for taking care of and providing for other servants. As we care for each other, God will bless us. We must take care of each other by God's will. One commentary says this: our relationship with others depends on our relationship to the Lord. So if we stop looking for him, we will stop loving his people. The motive for Christian life and service must be a desire to please the Lord and be found faithful at his return. The second sign of an unfaithful servant is in the way he treats other people. Does he treat people well? Or does he treat people with contempt? Is he mean? This helps us to see that we cannot just do what we want, since we have our get out of hell free card. You know, yes, we believe that once saved, always saved. Once you give your life to Christ, you cannot lose that. But in some ways, we have preached that to our detriment because some people go around saying, I'm saved, so I'm good. That's not real salvation. Here we see that we cannot just do whatever we want. If we are not doing what God has called us to do, if we are not following his will, if we're walking around saying, well, I've got my get out of hell free card so I can do whatever I want, you have found yourself in the category of an unfaithful servant. Because we are not doing what God has called us to do. We are to care about each other. We are to care about the work that he has called us to do, and we are to do it. The master will come. It will be at a time when the unfaithful steward will not expect it, and he will be punished for not doing what the master said. The passage shows us the severe nature of not following the master's will. Strict judgment comes to those who are not faithful. You know, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. Yes, we need to hear encouraging sermons. Yes, we need to be lifted up. But every now and then we need some hellfire and brimstone, because that's what's the problem with our world. So many Christians have been lulled to sleep by the world. So many Christians come to only hear their ears tickled. So many Christians only want to be encouraged, only want to be lifted up, only want to be make me feel good about myself. And yes, we want to do that, but I don't want to make you feel good about yourself to the point that you die and go to hell because you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I don't want you to feel good about yourselves and then give you these heartfelt, warming messages to the point that you don't live your lives for Jesus and you die and go to hell because it's never went past your head to your heart and you've never given your life to Christ. I love you too much to let you die and go to hell and not tell you the truth. We, as Christians, have a responsibility to live like Christians. We have a responsibility to be the men and women that God has called us to be. We can't just do what we want. Strict judgment. Yes, God is a loving God. Yes, God loves us more than anything. Yes, God loves us so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Yes, God loves us so much that He's given us the Holy Spirit. But God also loves us so much that He doesn't let us do what we want. And strict judgment comes to those who are not faithful. Often, we think punishment comes when we do what is wrong. Here, we see that punishment also comes if we don't do what is right. We are called to do what is right. One commentary says this: fake discipleship, discipleship without dedication to Jesus, does not fool the Lord. He will exact the punishment deserved. The servant unprepared for the master's return finds himself suffering the flogging and punishment any unfaithful servant would endure. And so we see two servants, the faithful and the unfaithful. And then we see something else in the text. We see the servant that knows. As we look at verse 47 and 48, "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more." So what is this saying? Well, this saying that the Christian, the person that knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, is going to be in a lot more trouble than the person that doesn't know the right thing to do. In other words, once we give our lives to Christ, we are held at a higher standard. Once we profess faith in Jesus Christ and make the claim, "I am a child of God," once we join a church and become a member of that church, we are held at a higher standard because we know His will. When the Master returns, we cannot say we did not know what He expected of us. Every single person in here this morning, when we stand before God, we cannot say, "I didn't know that's what God expected." Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have His Word. We know what God wants us to do. We have been entrusted with the kingdom of God, so we must work to make much of God and help people come to know Him and grow in their walk with Him. What does God require of us? To go and grow. We are to grow in our walk with Jesus Christ, and we are to go tell others about Jesus and help them grow in their walk with Christ. That's what He's called us to do. We are to work each day as if the Lord is coming back at any moment, because He could. Those who don't know His will not be punished as much as those who do. James 4:17 is a powerful verse. It says, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them." We know His will. We know what God has called us to. We know that the Bible says we're supposed to be in church. We know that we're supposed to pray. We know that we're supposed to study the Bible to show ourselves approved. We know that we're supposed to love one another. We know we're supposed to give 10% of everything we make. We know that we're to tell other people about Jesus. We know that we're to be on mission for Him. We know that we are to love and care and be kind to one another. We know that we're supposed to do these things. We just don't do them. Why? How has the world gotten to where the church has gotten today? How have we gotten to the point where more people stay at home than come to church? How have we gotten to the point where Sunday school is no longer important? How have we gotten to the point where Bible study and discipleship is no longer important? How have we gotten to the point where reading our Bible every day, growing in our walk with Christ, is not important? How have we gotten to the point where we are in the world today? And I'm here to tell you, it ain't because of the lost people. It's because the people of God have put away following Jesus to look like the rest of the world. It's because the people of God no longer take their walk with Jesus as serious.
Amen.
We've got our get out of hell free cards, and that's all we need. And we don't see anything else as important. 3.6 million people lost in South Carolina. And we've been arguing over putting cameras in our church. 3.6 million people lost. And we argue about how many people we're going to take plates to. In South Carolina. And we complain about the temperature in the church. It's nice to see where our priorities are. And we wonder what's wrong with the world today. That's why in Chronicles it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then I will hear. Then I will hear. Most of you say you want to see revival take place in this church, but not once have I seen half of you at our Sunday morning prayer at 9:45. If you want to see revival, it's time to do something about it. If you want to see a difference in this church, it's time to do something about it. It's time for us to be the men and women that God has called us to be. We know what God has called us to do. We know what God wants us to do. So when He comes, we're going to be held at a much higher standard. And when we don't do it, they're going to be punishment. We have been given much. It comes down to faithfulness to our Lord and Master. It amazes me how many people are more faithful to their college football team than they are to Jesus. I like this. I like doing this question. How many of you can tell me 12 players on your favorite football team? Okay, most of us can say, I can tell you 12. What are the names of the 12 sons of Israel that are the 12 tribes of Israel? We know stats about our favorite football team, but we don't know the Bible. We don't know the names of the 12 sons of Israel. And I'm guilty too. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? So many people are more loyal to their football team than they are to church. Well, I can't come to church today, it's raining, but I'm going to be at the football game with my shirt off, even though it's 20 degrees outside. How many of us miss church often but have not missed a single game of our favorite football team this year? I'll miss church, but I ain't going to miss Carolina play. I'll miss church, but I ain't going to miss Clemson. And for some of y'all, I'll miss church, but I ain't going to miss Georgia game. And we wonder what's wrong with our churches. And we wonder what's wrong with our world. Everything else has become more important to us than Jesus.
All people will answer to God for what we have done. The faithful will be rewarded. We may not see the rewards on this side, but we keep on going because we know what waits us on the other side. So, we keep praising, we keep praying, and we keep giving thanks, no matter what happens. We keep praising, we keep praying, we keep giving thanks. The unfaithful, on the other hand, they will be punished. God has given much to the church and expects much from them. I think this is awesome. God wants us to be part of His work. He wants to use us. He wants to make a difference in the lives of those around us. The Bible clearly states that God is coming back. When he does, what will he find us doing? Will he find us united under the banner of Christ? Or will he find us arguing and fighting amongst ourselves? When he comes back, will we be people of praise and prayer, giving thanks to him always? Or will we be people who complain about everything? When he comes back, will we be making a difference in the world around us? When he comes back, will we be found as faithful stewards? We have been given much, and when we are faithful, God will provide us with more. What is God saying to you today? First of all, have you met Jesus? The most important decision that anyone will ever make is, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If you've never made that decision, will you come? Then the second question, what will Jesus find you doing when he comes back? What will Jesus find us doing when he returns? Lord, I thank you for this beautiful passage of scripture that you've given to us. And I thank you for the fact that you are coming back for us. And that is so incredible and that is so encouraging. But Lord, also you have given us responsibilities that we have taken lightly and we have taken for granted for the church for so long. And yes, you're coming back. And yes, one day you're taking the church home to be with you. Yes, a day is coming when there will be no pain, no suffering, no tears, no nothing. And we will be with Jesus for all eternity. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. But until that day, you have called us to work for you. Until that day, you have called us to be faithful. And so I pray, awesome Father, I pray right here, right now, that you would help each and every one of us be worthy of the calling that you have placed on our lives. I pray that each and every one of us will be faithful stewards, living our lives for Jesus, being the men and women that you have called us to be, being a difference in the world, seeking the lost to have a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that as we get ready here in just a couple weeks to have this event in town, when we have this manger scene exhibit, I pray that as we hand out tracts, as we talk to people, as we show the true meaning of Christmas, I pray that you would give us opportunities to lower that 3.6 million loss just a little bit. That you would give us the opportunity to lead people to Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would just move in your church as only you can. We thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.